Radio Prague News.
The Czech president and prime minister have paid tribute to a student killed in Tuesday's school attack. Polling stations have opened across the country for Czechs to vote in the second round of the Senate elections. And the Czech Republic is an active and stable member of NATO, according to the new Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. President Miloš Zeman and Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka on Friday paid homage to a student killed in Tuesday's knife attack at a secondary school in Žďár nad Sázavou. Mr. Zeman and Mr. Sobotka, who arrived independently, lit candles outside the school and briefly met with the school's director. The Prime Minister later praised the work of emergency response workers and said he would propose the student for a state decoration. The 16-year-old boy was killed by the attacker, a mentally ill woman, while trying to protect a fellow student. In related news, the Czech Judges Union has criticized Justice Minister Helena Válková for her remarks about the deadly attack in the secondary school in Žďár. Ms. Válková said that a court in Opava had failed when it released a mentally ill woman from hospital care in 2013, a year after she held a girl hostage in a school in Havířov. On Tuesday, the woman, who allegedly suffers from schizophrenia, attacked students in Žďár, killing a 16-year-old boy. The Judges Union said the minister breached the law and the constitution when she publicly criticized decisions made by an independent court. Polling stations in 27 electoral districts across the Czech Republic opened at 2 p.m. on Friday for people to vote in the second round of the Senate elections. Voters are selecting one-third of the 81-seat Senate, the upper chamber of the Czech parliament. The central-left government coalition is looking to preserve a majority in the Senate, as in 15 out of the 27 districts, coalition candidates are likely to win, according to media reports. The election concludes at 2 p.m. on Saturday. The Czech Republic is an active and stable member of NATO. The recently appointed Secretary General of the Alliance, Jens Stoltenberg, told Czech Defense Minister Martin Stropnický. The officials met in Brussels on Friday. Mr. Stropnický said his country's positive image within NATO was the result of Czech soldiers' participation in foreign missions. The Czech Republic has, however, been criticized for failing to meet its commitment to spend 2% of its GDP on defense. But Mr. Stropnický said that the Czech government's plans to gradually increase defense spending to 1.4% of GDP by the year 2020 have been well received. 30 Czech tourists are missing in Nepal after an unexpected snowstorm and avalanche hit a popular trekking route. Earlier this week, the Czech ambassador to India, Miroslav Staček, said on Friday. In total, 85 people are missing, while the death toll reached 29, according to local media reports. The ambassador said that around 70 Czech citizens were currently in Nepal, and the authorities had been able to contact 40 of them. It is, however, not clear whether the remaining 30 tourists were staying in the affected area. Firefighters are still working to extinguish a fire at the munition depot in the village of Vrbětice in South Moravia. The fire there broke out on Thursday morning following a strong explosion. Two men are reported missing and are feared dead. Hundreds of people were evacuated from companies and a school situated in the vicinity of the depot, and the whole area remains enclosed due to risk of further explosions. And family, friends and members of the public bid final farewell to actor and former dissident Pavel Landowski at Prague's St. Ignatius Church on Friday. Mr. Landowski died last Friday at the age of 78. A popular stage and film actor, Landowski opposed the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia and signed the Human Rights Manifesto Charter 77. In 1980, he left for Austria and only returned to Prague after the fall of communism. He last appeared in the 2012 film Bastard 3. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The weekend will initially be cloudy with rain and daytime highs between 15 and 19 degrees Celsius, but on Sunday the skies are set to clear up and temperatures rise up to 22 degrees. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Ghana complains over the treatment of one of its citizens, who Czech officials feared could have Ebola. We'll have all the news from the world of Czech business, and in the arts, we hear from Jan Němec, a young author who's taken a top EU prize for a novel about Czech photography pioneer František Drtikal. All that's coming up in today's programme. Ghana is preparing to lodge a formal complaint with the Czech Foreign Ministry over the alleged poor treatment of one of its citizens. Last Saturday, medical workers and the police tracked the student, who had visible symptoms of a bad cold, to Prague's main train station after he allegedly failed to await health clearance at the city's international airport. The fear was that the student might be infected with Ebola. Jan Vellinger has the details.
Ghana has not been affected by the Ebola outbreak that has led to more than 4,000 deaths in Western Africa. But last Saturday in Prague, officials were taking no chances. After a student from the African country, who was suffering from what appeared to be at least a bad cold, unexpectedly left Václav Havel Airport, medical officials and the police were called. They caught up with the student at Prague's main railway hub. The student cooperated and was covered by a black plastic sheet and then escorted by a medic to a nearby ambulance, the medic wearing a full protective suit. The fear of Ebola proved unfounded, but the image of the student covered up by the plastic sheet got traction not only in the mainstream press, but also on YouTube and other social networks, and has now become the center of a diplomatic row. Both the BBC and Czech Radio reported on Thursday that Ghana is preparing to lodge a formal complaint over how its citizen was treated. First and foremost, officials will question why the student wasn't transferred to hospital properly, that is, using a medical transportation bag, rather than being covered up by a sheet of plastic. On the evening of the incident, Health Ministry spokeswoman Štěpánka Čechová agreed the move had been largely preventive.
The student is from Ghana, so it is apparent there is no reason to fear Ebola. Ghana has not been affected by the outbreak and does not border countries which have. At the same time, it is important to remain vigilant, and the student could have some other infectious disease.
The Czech Foreign Ministry said Thursday it had not received any complaint yet. But Czech Health Minister Svatopluk Němeček took the opportunity to address the situation head-on, making clear he hoped any misunderstanding would be sorted out.
I firmly believe the situation will be explained. Primarily, the medical worker did not quite follow standard procedure.
The BBC has called the incident a Czech error. While health officials certainly appear to have mishandled the patient's transfer, it is apparent that doing nothing or downplaying the danger of Ebola is not an option. By contrast, officials in another scare the same evening in the town of Karlovy Vary in the west of the country handled the situation better. There, they transferred the woman suspected of Ebola to hospital properly in a medical bio bag used to prevent infection. Like the Ghanaian student, that patient was too released later the same evening, testing negative for the deadly disease.
That report was by Jan Vellinger. Now for a roundup of the news from the world of Czech business this week, I'm joined by Ruth Frankova.
Czech farmers are expecting a bumper grain harvest this year, the Czech Statistical Office reported this week. The harvest of grain this year is the third highest in history, 16.4% higher than in the previous year. The rapeseed harvest is also expected to be exceptionally good, with a year-on-year increase of 6% to 1.53 million tons. That figure exceeds the average for past 10 years by nearly 50%.
Škoda intends to sell around 1,000 new generation Fabias in the Czech Republic by the end of the year. The head of Škoda sales, Luboš Vilček, said this week. The Czech carmaker wants to increase the sale of Fabias on the local market next year by 30% to 11,000. The third model of the Fabia made its debut at the start of the month at the Paris Motor Show. The basic price will start at just under a quarter of a million Czech crowns. The Fabia is the second most successful model of Škoda after the Octavia. Over 3.5 million Fabias have been sold since 1999, 450,000 of those in the Czech Republic. Production of the second generation Fabia will stop by the end of this year.
The number of Russian tourists coming to the Czech Republic is likely to drop by 15 to 20% year on year in 2014, according to the estimates of the state agency Czech Tourism. The number of visas issued to Russian tourists by Czech diplomatic missions went down by 19% in the third quarter of this year. The head of Czech Tourism, Rostislav Vondruška, said the situation could be improved by simplifying the visa procedure for Russians. According to the agency, the decline has also been influenced by an unfavorable state of the tourism industry in Russia, where 30 tourist agencies have gone bankrupt this year.
Canadian company Less Mass Storage has acquired 5 self-storage facilities in the Czech Republic and Poland for 14 million euros. The transaction has made Less Mass Storage the largest self-storage chain in Central and Eastern Europe. The overall storage area for rent exceeds 16,700 square metres. 3 storage buildings are located in Prague and the other 2 are in Warsaw. Less Mass CEO Guy Pinsett said the company wants to encourage the trend of self-service storage in the Czech Republic.
Local distilleries are expecting a very good season this year, according to Václav Šitler, chairman of the Czech Union of Distillers. The production of liquor in the period between July 2014 and end of June 2015 is expected to reach 6.5 million litres, a year-on-year increase of 13%. Around 80% of this year's liquor will be made from apples. The amount of the Slivovice is expected to be low due to a poor harvest of plums.
Thank you for that, Ruth Frankova. Czech writer Jan Němec is among 13 young European authors who've won the 2014 European Union Prize for Literature. Němec was recognized for his unusual debut novel about the renowned Czech photographer František Dertíkal. Entitled A History of Light, the novel captures Dertíkal's complex personality, following his path from photography to Eastern spirituality and Buddhism. Jan Richter spoke to Jan Němec for this week's Arts.
A History of Light, an acclaimed novel by Jan Němec, came out last October. It has since been nominated for several Czech awards, including the prestigious Magnesia Litera for Best Novel. But the EU prize is the first the young Czech writer has received.
I'm glad, of course, mainly because of the book, because the award should help it. The purpose of the prize is to facilitate translation of the book. It's great for any work written in a language with not so many speakers, such as Czech, and it might help it reach a much larger number of readers.
František Dertíkal remains one of the best-known Czech photographers. Born in 1883 in the central Bohemian mining town of Příbram, he rose to international acclaim in the first 3 decades of the 20th century. But in 1935, he suddenly retired and spent the rest of his life studying Eastern spirituality, and particularly Buddhism. Jan Němec says Dertíkal's fascinating story has great potential to appeal to an international audience.
I hope it could. When I was writing the novel, I realized that Dertíkal's fate was in fact non-Czech, that he differed from the mood and taste of the time. He was discovering things that were not that well known here in the 1930s, such as Eastern religions and Buddhism, at a time when only a few people were interested in this. His advantage was that he spoke German, and he learned a lot from German sources.
Dertíkal's photographic work has been the subject of study for a number of art historians, while his spiritual followers focused on Dertíkal's Buddhist teachings. But in his novel, A History of Light, Němec aspired to capture Dertíkal's life and career in its entirety.
My input was looking at his life from a new perspective, enabled by the genre. I could write about things that historians can't because they can't be verified, and so on. I wanted to capture his life in its complexity because when you read the memoirs of his spiritual pupils and of his photography students, you might get the impression that he couldn't have been one person, that they were two Dertíkals. or that Dirtyko went crazy in the middle of his life and became someone else. But that wasn't what happened. When you look at it in greater detail, you'll find that it makes very good sense.
Jan Němec, who lives in Brno, made his literary debut in 2007 with a collection of poems. He then decided to write a novel about a fictional photographer, and he only later discovered that he in fact did not need to invent the protagonist of his book.
When I decided to write a novel and was looking for a topic, I remember I was thinking of a photographer. I was initially planning to invent the character, but after some time I realized that Dirtyko fits the idea I had in my mind, and that it would be more interesting to write about him. As I said, his fate struck me as unusual and non-Czech, and he was a pioneer in many ways. So that's how it happened.
One moment covered prominently in Němec's book is Dirtyko's decision in 1935 to retire from photography and devote his time to spiritual study. The author says that Dirtyko's biographers have often been puzzled by the move.
There is a lot of speculation about what exactly made him close down his studio and what role the studio's economic difficulties played, as this was a time after the Great Depression. Some also say that Dirtyko took photos of minors in the studio and that it was raided by the police. Who knows what the reality was, but his intellectual development at that time was leading him away from art and photography. It seems that by that time he had expressed what he could or wanted through art and realized that if he wanted to continue his journey, he would need to achieve some direct experience.
Like many in his generation, František Dirtyko joined the Communist Party in 1945 and remained a member until his death in 1961. Some have found this hard to square with his Buddhist convictions. Jan Němec says he doesn't have a definite explanation either.
That's quite complicated. The apparent contradiction of being a communist and a Buddhist is very impressive from today's point of view, because we have historical perspective. Dirtyko joined the party in 1945, like many in his generation. It's strange he remained there for the entire 1950s, and it'd be interesting to see if he somehow revised his decision. But there are few indications he did. He was quite ill by the late 1950s and wasn't really active in the party. I'd say he had different issues on his mind.
One feature that makes A History of Light stand out is its form, with the second-person narrative creating the impression that both the protagonist and the reader are being addressed by the author. Němec says he likes experimenting with form.
That was something I worked my way through gradually. I wrote the beginning of the book in the traditional third-person narrative, but it wasn't convenient. Also, when I realized I was going to capture his life linearly, from his childhood to his old age, I was looking for ways to make the novel formally distinctive, and that's what happened. When I first tried it, I knew I was going to use it throughout the book, because it seems to me it does reflect the situation. When you're writing about someone real, the entire novel is a form of dialogue. It turns out in the novel that it's not me, the author, who addresses Dirtyko, but that's something else. But I like working with form and various formal games, and I'm glad I could try something less traditional.
It took Jan Němec about a year to write the award-winning novel. He worked on it mostly in his refuge in Polička, a quiet town in eastern Bohemia. When I spoke to him, he was again staying in his apartment in the historic town, but says the attention surrounding his first novel makes it difficult for him to focus on new plans.
I'd like to start something new already, but something is still going on with A History of Light, and the book sort of holds on to me, and in fact keeps me away from things I'd like to do now. So my sincere answer is that I'm not writing anything. I have some ideas, but I haven't had the time to start working on them. Author Jan Němec, ending that edition of The Arts by Jan Richter. If you've got any comments about today's program, do please share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.